God good, isn't he good? And that he returns us home to him. I just really feel that word in my heart, that God wants us to return home. Even at whatever age you are, that God always wants us closer. He always wants us closer. And he's been speaking that word to my life. And so anyway, this morning, we've done all kinds of things. We've talked about marriage. We've talked about blended families, how to live well if your family is a little bit different. We've talked about adoption and fostering. We've talked about how to raise your kids underneath love, but also discipline. Can I get an amen? Discipline's good. We have a couple discipline things going on in our life right now. But this morning, we are talking. Did you get the video? Is the video? Oh, it's on there. It's on there. You ever watch these videos? How many people watch TV? Sometimes commercials. And I watch like football with Ted. And at times, there will be a commercial. And it's progressive. You've seen these progressive commercials about you becoming like your parents, and it's super funny. So I grabbed one for you guys. Just check it out. It's like just a 45 minute clip. Here we go. Here
goes nothing. But for a young homeowner becoming their parents, it's a learning opportunity.
Come on in. The more the merrier.
Paris, huh? Bonjour. We got any out of towners in the elevator?
Tom, it is not easy.
10th floor, huh? Must be a heck of a view.
Okay. See how everyone else is facing this way?
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto with us.
Okay, that was terrible. Okay, let's hang back. We're going to try that again.
And so Progressive has this whole line of videos, and it's about saving you from becoming like your parents. How many people have said in the room, I will never be like my parents? Any of us? If your parents are here, just keep your hands down. And so don't let them know. Don't let them know that you have said that. I see all the young people raising their hands, but I'm good. I'm good because I know. And I think sometimes we focus so much on that picture of our parents, and maybe you've got good things from your parents, and maybe you've got some bad things from your parents and things that have come in along the way. But today, we want to say live free. Everybody say live free. Live free. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay, here we go.
So one of the first things we want to talk about in living free is live free from the curse for wherever death. And so we're going to be talking about generational curses in a little bit. But just to kind of give you a base for where we're coming from, this whole idea of a curse and God, this is faith. Like, how does a curse apply in our life? Well, from the very beginning, whenever Adam and Eve sinned against God, there was a curse that was pronounced not only on man, not only on the woman, but on all mankind, and on the earth as well. This was the curse of sin and death. Because you sinned, then this is your consequence, death. And so we know that this curse has been passed on from generation to generation to generation. Adam sinned against God by eating of the tree that he was not supposed to eat off of. His son Cain kills his brother Abel. And just this cycle just continues of sinfulness. And so we're all born with this sinful nature. If you don't believe me, how many of you guys have like a toddler or a young kid? You don't have to tell that kid to be bad. You don't have to teach them to do bad. And in fact, if you tell them, do not jump on the sofa, do not climb on the sofa, don't climb on the sofa, then as soon as you walk out, then guess what? They're climbing all over the sofa. They're on top. They're like about to jump off of the sofa. Why? Because it's on the inside of us to be abstinent, to be the opposite of what God requires of us, and to just sinful nature. And so this sinful nature is passed on from one generation to generation. And it's something that we cannot avoid. How many guys have ever sinned in this room? I mean, everyone's hands should go up. You know, right. I'll put both my hands, both my feet, I'll put everything up. I have sinned. I have messed up. Right. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. But thank God in his grace, in his mercy, that we don't have to live under the curse of sin and death anymore. God provided a way through his son, Jesus, on the cross. That if we have faith in him, right? If we believe in Jesus, if we confess our sins, if we repent of our sins, if we receive Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, then we don't have to bear the penalty of our sins anymore. We can walk free from the curse of sin and death. We can walk free because we are now found in Jesus. Amen? Or that should get you excited this morning, that the penalty of sin and death, it was something that you owe. The Bible says, because of one man's sin, death entered the world. And for that death, the reward for that death, I mean, sin entered the world, and the reward for sin is death. And so we all deserve to die. You might be thinking, what? Not me. I'm an angel. I never did anything. I never killed anybody. I never committed adultery. I have fallen this. I never did that. I'm a good person. No, the Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And for that sin, we deserve death. And so that is the curse of sin and death that applies to each and every one of us in this room. And the only way that we can avert this curse is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's through what he has done on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And I want to give you a scripture. There's so many scriptures based on this, but one, Romans 8:6-8, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we're no longer in the flesh. We are born of the Spirit of God. Therefore, and Lynn had, we were practicing this morning, and Lynn had prayed us out, and he said, you know, I just want to be pleasing unto you. We can live a life that is pleasing unto God. We're no longer in the flesh. We're no longer walking after the things of the flesh. We can live a life that is pleasing unto him. God is pleased with you. As a believer, as you have put your faith in him, as you showed up this morning, God is pleased with you. You know, and so this curse of sin and death no longer applies to you. You are no longer have his curse of sin and death as a believer in Jesus. You are blessed and you are beyond blessed. You have his protection. You have his favor. You have, you know, his peace upon you. And so no longer does the curse of sin and death prevail over you.
Yeah. And so today we're going to talk about, number one, if you're writing notes, what are generational curses? Somebody say generational curses. And like, that's a little scary. And if you look at the definition, these are more than just sinful behaviors, unhealthy habits. And I have a bunch of unhealthy habits. Takis, I love takis. Mindsets, any mindset that you have picked up over time from your parents, your grandparents, which tend to rob us of fulfilling our full potential. And so these are just things. Our formative years, Jeremy will always say this, your formative years are always when you're 3 years old to about 11 or 12 years old. And you pick up things, right? You pick up habits, you pick up different ways. How many people will say something like your parents said it? How many times, I was never ever going to, and this is silly, I was never going to tell my kids, you know, to close the fridge, you know, because that's what my parents always said, and it aggravated me. And this summer was hot, y'all, and so what was the first thing I did? Close the fridge. Who's paying the electricity bill, you know? And who said that? My mom said the same thing to me. And we sort of pick up these habits, these traits, if you would, and some of them are good, amen, if you have godly parents. I picked up so many amazing things from my parents, but also these things sort of follow us from generation to generation. Take, for example, alcoholism. Alcoholism runs in my family. It is a generational curse. Like my great-great-great-great-grandfather, as far back as our lineage can be traced, my family was alcoholics. Probably if you're from down south, a lot of you probably feel, you know, the same way. My great-great-grandfather, I think he was raised in Smithridge. My grandmother, my grandmother, passed away due to alcoholism. It is a curse that has followed along inside of my family from person to person. And I have seen alcoholism destroy my family members. Some of you in the room might know what I'm talking about. There's other things like everyday, maybe drug use or abuse. You see the effects of that in your family. Anger, rage. I don't know if you have, like, anger will be your dad had anger and your grandfather had anger, so therefore you have anger. And the very thing that you said, I'm never going to do. I'm never going to be an alcoholic. I'm never going to go out and rage. What is it? That's never a thing that we do, right? And you're like, I remember one thing I picked up from my parents. I was like, I thought I would never be like them in that area. It's just something that passes on. Maybe in your family, they were racist. And so racism has passed on from lineage to lineage. And this is seen in the Bible. This is not just like something we've made up. In the Bible, you will see people that pass on their sin to their kids' sin. For example, we have like Abraham calls Sarah his sister. His son, Isaac, calls Rebecca his sister. It was a lie. They both lied, and they both lied in the same way. That sin pattern had been established in Abraham, and so he passes that sin pattern right over to Isaac. And you're like, there we are. We're in the middle of this sin pattern. Different kings. There are different kings in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 15 in verse 25 through 26. I'm going to read it. I don't know if it's to be on the screen, but it says, Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did what was evil. Somebody say evil. In the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father, and in sin, which made Israel sin. So it says that he walks in the way of his father. 1 Kings 22, another king, Uzziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Bible says, and he walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother. Now mom gets attached too. And he adds on to the sin that was before him, and he made the entire country to sin. In 2 Kings 15, in the 30th year of King Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reigned Israel 6 months, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. So you see these kings, and they get reign, they get authority, they get power, and what do? They do the exact same thing that their father had done, and in some cases, they did the exact same thing that their father and mother, generation after generation, family lineage, and what do? Sin. And that sin causes other people to sin. When I continue in my generation curses, I am not just continuing that for my life. I am continuing that for my kids. I always am thinking about my kids. Do I want that same anger pattern? I'm picking on one of mine. Anger pattern to go into my kids' life. You're going to take over. Do I want that to stop? And there's good news. There's good news because there's a king. Are you going to take over the king that actually got this right? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, thankfully, we see king after king just constantly get it wrong. They pour into their, they were evil. Their kids did just as evil or even more evil. But thankfully, there's a king who got it right. In 2 Kings, we learn about a man named Josiah. It says, 2 Kings 22, 1 through 2 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah and Basketh. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David, his father. And he did not turn aside from to the right or to the left. Now, what I failed to mention was that his father, Amon, had also did what was evil in the sight of the Lord.
Right.
So you might have had generations where your fathers and your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But then there was a man named Josiah whom God raised up at the right time and says, you know what? It stops now.
Yeah.
It yeah. stops now. It stops today. It will not continue. And if you, I would strongly encourage you to read even into chapter 23, where Josiah really begins to take this to another level. He begins to drive out all the pagan priests. Not only destroys all the idols, he rebuilds the temple. He reinstates the Passover. See, he not only got rid of things that were evil, but he put into place those things which were good and those things which were edifying, like the Passover. And so, anyway, he says, today it stops with me. It will no longer continue with my generation. You cannot help how you were raised. You have no authority over that. You cannot change. We don't have a time machine where you can go back in time and relive it. You can't change anything that has happened to you, whether verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. You can't change any of those things. But you can say from this day forward, it stops now.
Right.
My children will never see that side of me. You know, they will never see anger. They will never see this or that. And so in saying that it stops here, we say that the addiction stops here.
Yeah.
Amen. And so the addiction stops here.
Right. And I think this is so important. My mom was sexually abused, and she allows me to say that publicly, because she made a point when she became a believer that we were never going to be around anybody, any man, by ourselves. She made it a point. And I always thought it was a weird thing if it was my uncles or something like that. But she knew what she in the family. She knew that addiction that came down the line, and she took a stand and said, you know what? It stops now. And I can tell you, me and my sister and my brother have been the beneficiaries of the fact that my mom took a step up and said, okay, I am going to say, that might have happened to me. That's a part of my mom's stories, but that is not a part of my story. That is not a part of what I'm bringing on to my kids. So the addiction stops here. The anger, the rage, it stops here. The womanizing. We know this, we've seen this, where people commit adultery and then their kids commit adultery. It stops. The abuse, the verbal, the physical, the sexual abuse, it stops because of Jesus. When you rise up out of your curse, out of the generational curses and say, okay, God, I recognize it. I think you have to recognize it. You have to say, here's the abuse. Here's the substance abuse. Here's the alcoholism, here's the anger, the rage, the whatever, racism, if it's racism, if it's the cycle of poverty, if it's feelings of inadequacy, that can be passed down too, where you feel like you're nothing, you were told that you were nothing, so you're passing down that cycle to your kid. And first of all, you have to recognize it and say, this runs through my family, just like with the kings, just like with Abraham, and I always, this runs through my family, and because of Jesus. I always think if we focus our affection on our family, we focus our affection on, I hate my dad. I hate my dad so much. I'm never going to become like my dad. What happens? You become just like your dad with the same problems, or they abandoned me, so I'll never abandon my kids. And yet we do the same thing because we've never turned our focus from them, and we have to focus it on the cross. You have to focus your affection on Jesus. He's the only one that can stop my anger. He's the only one that can stop my rage when I'm close to him. It stops with me. The bondage of sin and shame stops with me. For you are not in the flesh anymore. I know what runs through my family, but can I tell you guys, alcoholism ran through my family. My mom stopped the alcoholism. Weirdly enough, by the grace of God, I have never taken a drink in my entire life. I'm in high school. I go to South Terrebonne High. But I saw it ruin my family. I saw what it did to my family. I saw the consequences of my dad's family who lives in Ohio. And I saw that, and I just rose up and said, you know what? It stopped. stops with me. It stops with Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 9 through 11. It says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit." Somebody say spirit. See, you don't have to live in the flesh. You can live in the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if in Christ, although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life. Somebody say life. Because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. That's who dwells in me. The Spirit of a living God who rose Jesus from the dead, raised Christ, he gives me life to my mortal body through his Spirit. So the curse of sin and death has been broken because of Jesus. You're no longer under the curse. You don't even have to be under the generational curse. You can break it by the power of Jesus. You are blessed and not cursed. You are his child. You have his protection over your life. You have his power living on the inside of you, and it stops here. Somebody say it stops. Stops right here. And it does. It can absolutely stop right there.
Amen. And so that's up to each and every one of us to rise up and to make that decision, say, you know, it stops. And so you're going to have to put some boundaries in place. You're going to have to do things differently than what your parents did or what your grandparents did. And that thing that has been passed on to you. Today, let's just determine our hearts, it stops here. You know, it stops with me. Amen. Yes. Our next point is we want to live free, not only from the sin of death, but we want to live free from speaking death. Amen. How many of you guys know that words are very powerful? Very powerful. In fact, consider this. Whenever God created the heavens and the earth, what did he do?
His words.
He spoke.
Yeah.
He spoke. And so if we have the we just read, we have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of us. So therefore, our words can produce life.
Yes.
As God created life, our words can produce life, or we can speak death. That's what the proverb says in chapter 18, verse 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And so rather than saying, "Oh, well, my great-grandfather was an alcoholic, and my daddy was an alcoholic, I guess I'm going to be an alcoholic too," or "My great-grandmother had diabetes and high blood pressure and glaucoma and sugar and everything else you can name in the sun. And my mom had it as well. Guess I'm getting it too." You just snared yourself. The Bible says also in Proverbs that you were snared by the words of your mouth. You just created a trap for yourself. You just said, "Hey, look, this is going to happen to me because I just opened up the door for them to come in, for all these demons to come in. Ruined my life, and so I just opened up the door. Hey, come in. This is what I want in my life."
Right.
You know, or COVID's going around. I guess I'm gonna get it too. I mean, come on. Let's just be a little bit more modern, right? And so, but we say things and we snare ourselves, you know, with the words of our mouths rather than speaking life. Whenever you read in the scriptures where he says, "I formed you in your mother's womb. I have a plan and a purpose for you," but yet you choose to believe something else, what someone else said about you. "I'm never good enough. Yeah, I'm never going to amount to anything. You know, I'm a total loser. Or I'm a total this, I'm a total that." You're believing the lies of the enemy, and you're snared by the words of your mouth because now you have accepted that as truth for your life.
Right.
Rather than accepting the truth, what God says about you for your life and for your family. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what the Bible says. That's what I'm holding on to. That's words of life. I'm not going to speak death over my children, and I'm not going to speak death over myself because it creates a trap or a snare for myself. It would be foolish, right, for me to build a trap. Let's just say, like, this is a little hole right here. I'm building it, right? I'm digging out the hole. And then guess what I do? I just walk right into the hole, you know? I mean, it'd be very foolish, but that's what the book of Proverbs is saying. It's like you're ensnaring yourself by the words of your mouth. You're building a trap for yourself, which is going to trip you up a little bit later. And so we're going to live free from speaking death into our lives and to our children. I like this illustration in James chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. I worked on ships a bit at North American Shipbuilding, and it says, "Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by the strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a very small member, yet it boasts of great things. And so if you look at any ship, any vessel, the rudder is normally so small in comparison to the vessel, but yet it ultimately steers the direction of that vessel.
Right.
And James is saying, look, your words do the very same thing. You don't believe me? I'm not going to encourage you to do this, but if you were to go to your job tomorrow morning and curse out your boss, I guarantee you that the direction of your life will be altered. You will no longer have a job. You'll be fired. You'll be looking for something else. And so you'll be ensnared by the words of your mouth, and you're setting up a trap for yourself, not only for yourself, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. Let's break that. Let's begin to speak life. I know you might be able to. So what that looks like is, you know, I know that my parents had this, you know, even health issues. They had this in their life. And, you know, I'm not claiming that for my life. I'm not claiming that. I'm claiming the blood of Jesus. I'm claiming healing over my life. I'm claiming I will not do those things. You know what? If diabetes is running in your family, that may require you to eat properly, you know, to do what the doctor says. You know, because it takes effort on our part too. Faith without works is dead. You can't just expect to not have diabetes if you're continually putting junk in your body, right? And so, but if you say, you know what, I'm going to break that curse, that generational curse, mm-hmm. by speaking life, but also by walking in faith, doing what God has called me to do. And so we're going to live free from speaking death into our lives and into the lives of those around us.
And I remember one time someone had spoke to me, and they had said, you're going to be just like your uncle. He was moody. Anybody ever had this happen to you where you're going to be just like so-and-so? And I remember for a while, I just sat underneath that. I don't know. I guess I was a teenager, and I was moody. Hallelujah, teenagers are moody. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so I'm sitting there, but like I sort of took on that word, and I was like, well, I'm just going to be moody like my uncle. And I remember at one point that came back to me, and I said, you know what? I don't have to believe that word. I don't have to live that word. And I canceled that word by the power of Jesus. And then I said what God said over me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And guys, I can tell you, this is the same tower you see all the time, crazy and birds. The moodiness, I have none. And I think it's sometimes you allow those words to define who you are instead of allowing the word of God to define who you are. So you've got to be careful and break those curses, break those words. But then number three, live free from toxic people. Live free from toxic people. This is true in our families. And I see this, and I'm trying to walk around this gingerly and tenderly. Some people in your family, they're your family. But they don't have to be your best friends. They don't have to be the people that you're the most connected to. And I say that with all love and all graciousness. But some people in our families lead. But that's blood. That's my family. People will tell me this about Miss Tara. That's my family, and I get it. And I honor your mom and dad. I get that. But there are times where we need to disconnect from their behaviors because it's toxic to who we are. When my father gave his life to the Lord, we had a family in Ohio. And they would come down for Mardi Gras. And about 2 weeks before Mardi Gras, I was a young kid. I'll never forget this. Our house before Jesus was like the most partying house, liquor everywhere. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And they would come into my house. His father gave his life to the Lord. And when he gave his life to the Lord, he breaks generational curses. He quits drinking, he quits smoking, he quits chewing tobacco. He breaks the words that we talked about. However, he would have family, but that's family. And it was his brother and his sister, and everybody else would come in from Ohio, and my house would be the party house. And I was sort of for 2 weeks, and then they would go back, and we were back to being Christian family. My dad didn't participate. And finally, I think my mom was on him enough. She was like, you can't do this in our house. Yeah, she's the one of people. And so she's like, so, you know, you can't do this. You can't do this. Finally, he told his family, you can do it outside, but you can't do it in the house. And by the next year, it was like, you can't do it at all. You can't do it at all. Because it was ruining his kids. Like, the example that we saw was you could party for 2 weeks out of the year because it's family. And you can do it with family. And there's just a toxicity. Is that a word? It's a word. A toxicity to that, because then it's like, in that situation, well, it's okay if I go back to alcohol with my family, or it's okay if I go back to rage because that's my family, or that's my brother or my sister or my great aunt. And there, you've got to break this in the name of Jesus. You can. There are times I know, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and these gatherings, I'm not saying be ugly. I'm not saying be mean. I'm not saying any of those things. Love them. Pray for their salvation. We do that continuously for our family members, but at the same time, the people that are closest to me are the people that love Jesus, because those are the people that are looking out for the health of my soul. And in my case, I'm thankful that that does happen to be. My immediate family loves Jesus, and we love Jesus together. But in your case, if that is not true, this house might have to be your family for a while. These people that are around you or your friends that love Jesus become your family in Christ. Why? Because if not, people lead us down. It doesn't matter if they're family. We are to be in the world, but we are not to be of the world. And there's a difference. And even with family, there's a difference. Ephesians 5, verses 5 through 11, it says, be sure of this. If anyone is sexually immoral or impure or is covetousness and has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these the wrath of God comes. Therefore, do not become partners. Do you see that? It says, don't become partners with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you were in the light. So now it says, walk as children of the light. And you have to remind yourself that. You have to remind yourself of who you are. And that means for a moment in time, and now that I'm grown and I can handle it and my sister's grown, we talk to my aunts and uncles all the time. We shower Jesus on them. We love them unconditionally. We show them Jesus. But in that moment when my father was in charge of the health and spiritual health of his little kids, he had to say, this is the biggest deal. I need my kids to walk closely with Jesus. I'm breaking generational curses. I am speaking words of life over them, but I'm also letting go of those toxic people.
Our kids, I mean, they see it all. And so you have to imagine, sometimes this might be difficult, you know, to say no to family. You know, they might want your son, your daughter, to go over to their house and play with their kids. Well, you know what goes on in that household. And so it's up to you to decide, do I want what they're seeing, what they're watching, what they're experiencing to be the same thing that my child is seeing, hearing, and experiencing, or something that I might have to explain to them later? And if the answer is no, then sometimes you have to stick to your guns, regardless if that's family or not, and say, you know what? You know, we love you, but you know, the answer is no. So you, as a parent, as a guardian, you are your child charge of you know, the gateways, the things that are allowed into your child's life. Yeah. And so as much as is within your control. But, you know, our children are so important. Families are so important. And so these generational curses that are passed on, you know, they tend to seep through even in those areas. I still remember being affected, you know, by something that my cousin did, you know, mm-hmm. And so still remembering what he did and how that impacted my life. And so you never forget those things. It stayed with me. This was like 30, 40 years ago, you know, it's a long time ago. But yet, if you don't want your kids to be influenced by that, then you have to rise up and say no. Now, like Tara was saying, I'm not saying don't spend any time with your family, but they don't have to be your best friends, you know. Maybe you have get-togethers and whatnot, and you have no choice, but you have to be there. But it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, spend every moment with them. They don't have to be your best friends. And just learning to decipher that, you know, as the scripture said, don't become partners with them. Don't hook up with darkness. You are in the light. You have been saved. You have been called out of darkness and to walk into his marvelous light. So don't affiliate yourself with darkness. Come out of darkness. Amen. And so we hope that this
pray
in the series has helped you tremendously.
Yeah, can we play that song? We want to pray over people. And this is the end of the series. And we thought how important it is. We've prayed over marriages, we've prayed over kids, and we've prayed over families. But I know in the room, as we've been speaking, probably the Holy Spirit has been showing you maybe a pattern, a curse, something that runs on from your family. Can you all stand in the room this morning? We're just going to stand up. And if you're with your family, we'll pull down the lights just a little bit. Can you go with your family, teens? If you're not sitting with your family, if you are sitting with your family, can you go with them just real quickly? We're just going to let them do that. If you say, well, I don't have a family here, but you're here with a group, can you just sort of connect together? And what we're going to do is we're going to pray over families. We're going to pray. If you know that curse, can you spend a moment? Can you just pray over your family in the name of Jesus? Just spend a moment. Fathers, if your family, yeah, we got some people coming in. Spend time with your family. Can you just speak the name of Jesus over them really quickly? Fathers, if you're a single mom, just speak the name over Jesus over your kids right now. We're just really quickly. If it's just your wife here, if you're here by yourself, find someone that's here by themselves and speak Jesus over them. Come on, just do that really quickly. Just speak the name of Jesus. The enemy hates family. He hates partnership. He hates connectivity. He hates when we do this together. And I just believe that we can just begin to speak the name of Jesus. But begin to declare goodness. Begin to declare healthy words. Cancel every word that's been spoken, that's been negative. Maybe even you're in your family right now, you need to ask for forgiveness. That's all right. I ask for my kids' forgiveness all the time. Can you cancel every generational curse just within your group right now? Can you just cancel that? God, we just cancel generational curses by the power and the blood of Jesus. God, we are so thankful, God, for your power, your anointing, God, that we can walk free. God, the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. God, it stops now. Alcoholism stops now. God, drug addiction, rage, racism, God, unworthiness, God, it stops now in the name of Jesus. God, we are so thankful, God, for the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that lives on the inside of us, God. God, we give you all the praise, Jesus. God, we give you, God, all the power. God, we speak, God, into our generations. Even if you would you speak into the generations come behind you that you can't see, your kids, your great-grandkids, your great-great-grandkids, speak the name of Jesus into them. Speak the name of life into them. God, we do that this morning. God, we, by our power of our tongue, Lord Jesus, God, we speak, God, Jesus into our generations and the power of God. God, we speak the anointing of God. God, in the name of Jesus. God, we speak the name, God, of Jesus, God, over them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you want to pray?
So, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in this place here. You're continuing to do, God. And today, Lord, those generational things, we say it stops here. God, we made that decision, Lord, corporately, Lord, as a family, it stops here. Whatever that thing is, we name it today and we say it has no more power over our lives. It will not affect us. It will not affect our children. Today, it stops right now in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. Lord, that you have breathed new life into us. And so our old man has been crucified, Lord, with Christ. And behold, a new man has arisen, Lord, because of your power, because of what you have done. And so, Lord, today we choose to walk in that power. We choose, Lord, to not be a slave to sin anymore, Lord, but to be a slave of righteousness, Lord, to live for you, oh God, to live for righteousness, Lord, to make us stand for righteousness, God, in our families, even whenever it's not popular, even whenever it's not the right thing, you know, the uncomfortable thing to do, God, that we will stand up for righteousness, oh Lord. And so, Lord, we just declare blessings over our family, yes, blessings over our children, Jesus, blessings over our grandchildren, yes, in the mighty name of Jesus, blessings over our extended family, Jesus, Lord, yes, even those who are not saved, God, we call them into your, yes, into your light, Lord, that they will leave darkness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We break every chain of addiction, oh God, off of their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We break every in the mind of just suicidal thoughts, Jesus, yes, we break those, yes, things right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, every chain of unworthiness, we break that chain, yes, in the mighty name of Jesus. We break every chain, we break every generational curse that has affected us, yes, and we say no more, no more, no more. It will not affect us anymore, and it will not affect our children anymore. Today we are going to be mindful of the words that we speak. Lord, we're going to speak life, Lord, into our lives. We're going to speak life into our children's lives. We're going to speak life into those around us. We're not going to set up a snare or a trap for ourselves, but Lord, we're going to walk in accordance to what you have called us to, and we will speak blessings. Lord, we are the head and not the tail. Lord God, we thank you for that, oh God. Lord, we're not beneath, Lord God, but we are above. And so we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory for what you are doing in this place today. And Lord, we say that, Lord, by your help, by your grace, by your strength, oh God, we will walk this thing out in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just adore you. We magnify your name. We declare that you are holy, that you are awesome, that you are worthy, and that there is no one like you in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, today we just say we will live free. We will live free. We will live free. Lord, we will become and accomplish all that you have intended for us to accomplish, oh God, that we will not be ever set by these things anymore, by these generational curses, but Lord, we will accomplish everything, oh God, that you have designed us, created us for, oh Lord. So Lord, we thank you. Lord, whenever we were in the womb, Lord, you knit us together. You had a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, today I just rebuke the enemy. I rebuke him off of our lives who has tried to hinder us from fulfilling that purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare that we are free.
Yes.
We are free. We are free. And so, Lord, we just honor you in this place, and we just say, God, to you be all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the church say, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. See you Wednesday at 6:30. Grab some meat sticks for those going to El Salvador. Have a wonderful, wonderful day and walk in Jesus' love. Amen.